the wops in check. Gotta keep the wops in check. Keep telling the truth, but no disrespect. He started from the bottom, and now he's on top. I'm talking about Dino, the new number wop. He comes from Philly, so you know he's dope. He riding in a Jeep, two cases of Mexican Coke. I'm talking about the soda and not the white powder. Eating bagels in the back, he sure will devour. He's so much of a wop, got kicked out the Vatican. St. Peter's Basilica, oh no, that place again. Hangs a little Italy, his style is kicking. Eating garlic paste from Zanku's chicken. Walking down the street, he's like, that's a pie. Paisano, blasting out the speaker, Mambo Italiano, cooking ravioli, he's nice with spatula, his partner Gary looks like an overgrown Dracula, I did it for be funny, yeah I know me, Mike Tenson looks like a WWE referee, so that's about it, chill out and parlay, I see you on Friday, kid, it's my day, keep the watch in check, I do it one more time for no disrespect, and I'm out, be funny.
He puts in the work, I'll tell you what.
Hey, Tom, you on point again, man. And I'm letting you know I'm spreading your gospel. You fucking rocking this shit. Really huge fan of your show. Learned so much from you.
Your knowledge is really great, and that's the reason why I call, because you're the fucking man.
That's right! A blog called Marriage Isn't For You. What it says is marriage isn't for you, it's for the person you marry. It's all bullshit. This is a message that Richie Incognito of the Miami Dolphins left for his teammate, Jonathan Martin, on his voicemail. He said, what's up, you half nigger piece of shit? I want to shit in your fucking mouth. How the fuck can this stuff be going on? And how the fuck can they not be putting a lid on? What the fuck? Barack Obama. I'm not a supporter at this point. He lied and said people would be able to keep their own coverage. And that was total bullshit. Tell the fucking truth. Red Sox fans beating the shit out of each other. It's an accepted part of the culture. The self-hating, drunken dickwads looking for trouble. That's Boston, baby. CNN is an orgy of New York and New Jersey politics. Yeah, New York's the greatest state. We're just a bunch of bullshit. Fuck you. Excuses are made with articles like this one. An affair could save your marriage. Now she needs to be able to have an affair to fix your marriage. That's fucked up. I'm going to be appearing on the Peeling Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
That actually has been moved. It's Gustavo's fault. As of this morning, he's not available for the next couple of weeks.
Next couple of weeks?
Yes.
Why am I welded to his back bumper?
I don't know. I don't know how that ever happened.
You're attached to his bumper.
I had no idea.
It's Feline.
Feline, what's going on?
Can I speak to Gustavo Ariano?
Gustavo then? Gustavo Ariano. Le di un balazo a mi esposa with my 38. He excites me.
Gustavo, put Tom on now. Tom, this is Gustavo's dick. I mean, why? He won't be reporting to you unless I... And for your information, he'll be with me tomorrow at 9. Because I have his balls. You got that?
Has he taken it?
Crazy, bitch. Because I was my bitch now.
Hello, this is Whedon. It's close to Thursday. Gustavo freaked out on Tom for Peoria. Under the moonlight. He says that's a Mexican, but he talks so white. He's from O.C. Bet his wife don't know he writes to see guys naked. Yeah. He's getting married. You're dumb if you sign on the dotted line. You're fucked for rice. Gustavo, tell me how my ass tastes. Oh, I can tell you gay just by the rook up on your face. Gustavo, tell me how my ass tastes. You'll be fighting for your rights inside the courtroom when you get divorced. Fucking pussy.
It's Richie Incognito. Wanna why I punk that little bitch Jonathan Martin, Tom?
Yes.
You're the fucking typical fucking pushy ass. I'm a typical pussy ass guinea.
This is Alex from Norwalk. Not funny. I'm becoming a celebrity.
This is Robert Incognito here. Hey, Dino, you half a nigga. I'm gonna kill you.
What does Dino's health coverage and Suleiman's sex life both have in common?
I have no idea.
They're both non-existent.
Dino, Every day that you're alive is a beautiful day to vibe and take a ride in your Jeep and eat the fast food that's been stuck in your Jeep seats for weeks and say, orderly, orderly, yay, orderly, orderly, yay. Gary, every day that you're alive is a beautiful day to vibe and pour that bourbon in your Suburban till you crash into the curb as you're swerving and say, orderly, orderly, yay, orderly, orderly, yay. Mike, every day that you're alive is a beautiful day to vibe and fuck up the take me out style with pride, and because you're still kind of new, we'll let you slide. So say, orderly, orderly, yay, orderly, orderly, yay. I listen to the new normal every day. I'd rather listen to Tom than get laid because there's just a bunch of fat, fugly single mothers around my way. So I say, orderly, orderly, yay, orderly, orderly, yay.
Kids, remember, say no to drugs.
What's this? Hey, your vocalist, the craziest bitch in the t-shirt biz, getting drunk, doing shots all night, being funny, cut short while you just dabble right on.
What's the difference between that crazy bitch vocalist and a bowling ball?
I don't know.
You can only fit three fingers in a bowling ball.
Have you heard of the Tom Likas Happy Meal?
I have not.
It's an abortion that comes with an egg McMuffin.
Did you know that Chinese people fall asleep faster than any other race because it takes them less time to close their eyes?
How do you blind a Chinese? Woman. You put a windshield in front of him.
What's the difference between Batman and a black man?
I don't know.
Batman can go in a store without Robin.
What do BN Audio and a pimp from South Central have in common?
Black box.
Yeah.
I know there's one that is art. It's to have no arms, no legs, and you hang them up as art. I mean, there's a bunch of
guy with no arms, no legs stuck in a hole.
Don't know.
So, what do you call an Irishman with no arms and no legs sitting on your front porch?
I don't know.
Patio furniture.
What do you call a paraplegic water skier?
Skip. What do you call putting your window up?
What do you call a guy trying to tell a joke at a stoplight with his window down? A fucking douchebag.
Be funny.
They use them as bike racks.
Oh, my God. He thought he was telling the joke before he got on the air.
I haven't heard the setup yet.
What do you call it? Mike Tyson, he had no arms or legs.
A bike rack.
Be funny.
A bike rack.
You know what? I've had enough.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
What the hell is that shit?
And now, from the New Normal Studios in
Burbank. You dick.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You hear our show 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. And there'll be plenty of wide-open phones, and that's exactly the way we're going to do the show coming up in a little bit. But how could I resist? I got an email yesterday while I was doing the show from our guest, and she said, can I do your show Friday? Now, honestly, I've had people write to me pretending to be people, and I had no idea if this was really the person who she said she was. So I handed it off to my producer. I said, could you check this out? I'm off to my ranch for the weekend, and I got in my car, and I drove all the way up to northern Santa Barbara County. And just as I was about to pull on to the property, I get a phone call from Gary Zabransky, and he says, it's real. It's really Ann Coulter, and she's going to be on tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So why did I go to the ranch in the middle of the week? Do you really want to know? My home here in Hollywood, I have no hot water. And I won't until Wednesday. So I had to go with the solar panels, where I had to go up to the ranch, went, bathed properly, then just did a U-turn and came back this morning and came in time to do this interview.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
So glad you're here.
I was sitting in a car with John Phillips, and he gave me your email address.
I had a feeling it might have happened that way because, you know, it's funny. First of all, I don't know what politics people think I have or what people think of me. But they're always surprised at who knows me, who I know, and the circles in which I walk. And
yes.
You and I know a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
And have been on a lot of the same show.
Yeah.
And so that's not surprising. John Phillips, who does a show at KABC, and he's been there for many years. And, of course, Al Rantel, who John used to produce, and then he became a host at KABC here in Los Angeles. And you've been on their shows. You've probably been on every show on KABC.
Those were my two faves.
Yeah.
I did McIntyre today. I'm totally simpatico with him on Amnesty, so I was dying to get on a show, but he's on very early, Tom.
Yes, he is. Yes. But, you know, morning drive is when they have the biggest audience in traditional radio. Now, you see, when you do our show, it runs at 3, then it runs at 6, and then it runs at 9, and then it runs at midnight, and then it runs at 3 a.m., and then 6 a.m. So you can come in here at a comfortable time and then be heard over and over and over.
That's fantastic, because I want Tom Likas followers coming to my event at USC on Sunday.
Now, let's talk about that for a minute, and then I want to get into some other things here. What are you doing over at USC besides lobbing bombs, which I'm sure you will?
Well, I was speaking to a nice little Hancock Park Patriots, and they moved the venue to USC so they could get a bigger room, nice big room at USC. But the problem with moving into a college campus is, oh, it's going to be at a college campus.
Right.
That's why I'd like some of your followers to show up.
Oh, well, I'm sure some of them are already USC students. I'm sure that is the truth. Now, you are promoting your new book. You've had, what, 6 bestsellers, right?
10.
10?
Mm-hmm.
I lost count.
I started writing at age 3. Yes, I did, Tom.
Really? Now, I don't want to do the usual interview. You know, you go on these shows, and essentially they bring up the same buzzwords.
Yes.
And you go off on that same lip. I want to do it differently, if you don't mind.
I would love that.
Okay, good. Because a lot of people have come in the middle of your story. You know, like they see you lobbing bombs and writing outrageous stuff.
I think I'm just speaking the truth.
But who are you? No one ever, you know, I do a show about wine, beer, and spirits where I talk about, I ask questions like, what is tequila? And no one wants to ask that question because nobody wants to appear stupid. But, you know, I see your persona, I see your books, I see you on television. But I don't, you know, the way it works for me is I don't think I saw you in the beginning. So I kind of came in the middle of this party.
Right.
Not that a lot of people came in the middle.
Right.
So all I know is that you're a provocateur, which I'm a provocateur, so I get that part. Who are you? Where did you come from?
You probably never heard it because it's so boring. So I'll try to cut through it really quickly.
Let's get to the good stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I was just just practicing law, and I always wanted to be a writer. I didn't think you could make a living being a writer. Luckily, my two interests came together when we had a felon in the White House. It worked out so beautifully for me. So I wrote my first book, High Crimes and Misdemeanors, and actually everyone always came to me. MSNBC came to me. I had been working for the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they were starting this new station. I was on MSNBC their very first day. It's the only TV station I've ever worked for, in fact. Human Events, newspaper from Washington, they came to me, said, hey, why don't you write a column for us? And then I kept writing about the Paula Jones case, which I had been secretly working on.
Uh-huh.
And then they came to me and said, oh, since you've been writing so much about Paula Jones case and impeachable offenses against Bill Clinton, why don't you write a book on the case for the impeachment of Bill Clinton? And then I just kept writing books, and people kept handing me checks, and that's the story.
That's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's what you do.
And now that's what I do.
And it's pretty much a business model at this point.
Yes. And people, you know, are always trying to get me to do radio, TV, but it's just, I love to be a guest. But I think radio is way harder than TV. I think they're both way harder than writing books. And my friends all think this incessant book writing is just a cover for my agoraphobia, because I like to sit home alone and work on my own time and do my own research and then put the book out.
Right. Now, all right, so you've got a great business model. You're raking in cash and you're making appearances and stuff. But do you have a goal in terms of getting a message out, a specific unified message, or is it just kind of like talk radio, where you come in and lob some bombs and see where they land.
No, I do have messages. I mean, it varies from book to book, and I mean, it worked on the first book. We did get Bill Clinton impeached, and that was an important message for me, and also just to get people to understand the history of... Now, oh boy, we are so driving your listeners away if I finish the history of impeachment.
Uh-oh. The history of impeachment. Well, as long as you're not going to go into the history of impeachment, I think we're good.
And no, there is a point to each book. The history of my last book, Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. There was a very important point to that book. I would say most of the books... It's a pop culture telling of real history, because though I try to write in an entertaining style and a light style, and I don't dwell on something and get into boring details, and I want to keep it entertaining and fun, I do my own research, and I'm not just the way a lot of history books are written is they just repeat what's written in other history books, which is why so much false history gets written. I will go back and order the transcript of Marie Antoinette's trial, and I will give you the important parts from that. That's in my book, Demonic. So it is true histories. I told the true story of Joe McCarthy. I told the true history of the civil rights movement. And this book is a fun book to try to lure conservatives back into politics, because it's about 70% of my greatest hits over the last decade. I write a weekly column.
Yes. Well, you're writing all the time, and you're appearing all the time. And like I say, sometimes you just get the idea that this, like what I do, I come in here and I say something I really believe, but it's pretty outrageous.
Right.
And then I watch the phones light.
Right. And I must tell you, most of the time, I have no idea what is going to spark the reaction.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Sometimes I do on Twitter. I often do. And I just think, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's less of a reaction than I expect to one thing, more of a reaction than I expect to another thing. Most of the time, I'm completely unaware. You know, I have some friends who write for the New York Times, and just in casual conversation with them, I have said things that they would gasp in horror at, and I'd say, what? What did I say? And then, you know, all this time, we thought you were doing it on purpose. You don't even know what is politically incorrect.
Right. Well, now, here's another question I have for you, because I've worked in this business of talk radio my whole life, and frankly, I haven't worked in radio since 2009. It looks like radio, kind of smells like radio, tastes
sure
like radio.
Sure does.
But it's not radio. But I worked in radio my whole life, and I know from having been inside the belly of the beast, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with politics, by the way, mm-hmm. I know that there's certain things they don't want you to say, and I know you, and I know some of the shows you've been on, and I would be willing to bet that whether they told you or not, somebody walked in and whispered in the ear of the host or the producer, don't let her say this, don't let her say that. Now, are you aware of any of that going on?
Usually afterwards I find out.
You do? Can you tell us some of those? I'd love to know.
The funniest ones, in my opinion, was when I started working for MSNBC, because they were all out of NBC. It was just the straight mainstream media. They had never encountered a real live conservative before. Their idea of a conservative was like David Gergen. That'll really shake things up. And so, you know, they specifically hire me to be a conservative voice. When they started, they had one liberal, one conservative, one moderate, and they wanted them. This you'll find hilarious, I think, if you remember the early days of MSNBC. They had this hit sitcom on Friends, and they said, hey, let's turn Friends into like a newsy thing. So we'll get young, hip kids, one liberal, one moderate, one conservative, put them around the table. And so they actually, when we were working there, they would call us the Friends. Bring the Friends over. They ended up getting rid of the moderates because they never had a position. So anyway, I would just give what was a totally straight conservative opinion that I promise you would have shocked none of my friends, and I'd be called in afterwards by these old-time producers who were used to the old-time, you know, rules, and they would always say to me, Tom, they just shake their heads and frown and say, that was over the top. That was, and I felt like a dog hearing, bad dog, bad dog. What does that mean, over the top? All I knew is, don't say that, don't say that. But it would be for things like one time, they were talking about whether there was some, one of those, like, for lack of a better word, trash TV shows where it was like a Jerry Springer type show. It wasn't that. And I forget what had happened. I think it was that, the gay guy who had the secret, the secret crush on a guy who wasn't gay, and the one who wasn't gay ended up shooting him. Remember that one?
Jenny Jones.
Okay, I believe that was it. And they were asking us now, is this going to be the end of you know, trash TV or whatever they call it, confessional TV? And I said, no, this will not be the end of it.
It's the best thing that ever happened
look,
to it.
Look, the country just, you know, they voted for the Clintons. Apparently America loves white trash. And I got a talking to for using the phrase white trash.
Right, because it implies that everyone else is trash.
You see, it really
And then
there
are whites, some of them are trash, some of them are not, so you,
my
you say they are white trash.
My claim is it describes a specific prototype, and only a racist would say, oh, you're calling all black people trash. No, it's what you see on cops. It's all of Florida.
Anyone wearing
a
white
beater. There is a specific type, and it's different. It's a specific thing you're describing. It doesn't say anything about black people.
Right, but that's how they think. And the big deal is that the big media get bigger and owned by bigger and bigger corporations, their fear is that they don't want to offend Procter & Gamble, or they don't want to put McDonald's into a boycott situation. And so they start panicking and start putting the hammer down on what you can and can't say.
I'm sure that's right, but it always seems to be, and I am a conservative, that it always seems to lean in a particular way. And come on, I'm trying to think of what some other ones were. Oh, there was a big one that got a lot of attention, but this wasn't really my fault. It was when Pamela Harriman died, and they kept trying to bring us up to talk about her. She was basically a round deal. She got ahead by marrying wealthy men and didn't have much substance herself, but they're all acting like it's, I mean, I'd say it like it's Princess Di, except she was kind of the same thing.
Right.
So, but they're acting like, you know, Bertrand Russell died. Let me put it that way. And they keep trying to call us up to talk about her. And I said, I don't want to talk about her. She's a courtier. What am I going to say about her? And they said, no, just, you have to talk about it. So they start pushing me about, and they were just taunting me, Tom. I am telling you, they were taunting me.
To get you to say the wrong thing.
I don't think they were really trying to do it. But it was like catnip for a cat, the way they're talking about her, like she's this magnificent. And I didn't say anything vulgar, but I did call her a round heel, which I think is a very polite way of putting it.
Right.
And then when they get to, oh, and who will replace her in Washington, this grand dame of Washington, I said, I don't know, somebody like Madonna or Sharon Stone. And their claim to me for the bad dog lecture afterwards was that as I was saying this, they were showing like some procession at her funeral. Well, I don't know what you're showing. You're asking me questions and I'm answering them.
I take that video off if you don't like what's happening.
And by the way, when I later had a talk with the head of MSNBC, who, God bless him, was always taking my side in these disputes, I pointed out that the New York Times obituary that day or the next day referred to her as a courtesan, and Maureen Dowd wrote a column that was a lot spicier than what I said on air.
And no one told her not to say.
Right.
Now, what's interesting to me, and there's all this talk about what is a conservative and what is a liberal. I have had a conversation. You know, I know a lot of these people. Sean Hannity, Larry Elder, Doug McIntyre. A lot of these guys. And John Phillips, Al Rantel, and many,
my
many
faves.
More. Many, many more. Going back to Bob Grant in New York back in the day. I know a lot of these guys. And here's the question I always ask them. I hear you talking on your show about big government being evil, and we want less government interference in our life. We want less government. Mm-hmm. We want smaller government. We want less regulation. Why don't any of these guys ever talk about the Federal Communications Commission, which is regulating
our
business?
You're right.
And in fact, one of the reasons that people are marching away from radio and to shows like this one is because the Federal Communications Commission has blanded out radio.
You're right.
So you can't say outrageous things. You know, if you're in favor of smaller government,
you're absolutely right.
Why doesn't Sean Hannity come out and say, let's do away with the FCC? I'm all in favor.
I bet you he wouldn't be against it.
I've talked to him about it, but he won't do it on the show.
Probably because
he's
at this moment,
someone's going to tell him not to say it.
Right, that's possible. But also at this moment, I must tell you, Tom, we have bigger fish to fry. Could we start with Obamacare?
Well, understood. But here's my point. They're not on 1 hour at a time. These guys are on 15 hours a week. 45 weeks a year. They talk.
So really,
if Rush Limbaugh has time to tell you who's going to win the football games this weekend, if he has time to tell you what pizza has cheese in the crust, he has time to talk about this stuff.
No, you're right. It'll probably take a lull when we aren't dealing with like the IRS auditing political enemies or trying to deal with the government running our health care for us. But also, that's the sort of campaign. It's not something. Well, actually, you just said it very beautifully, so I'll take back what I was just going to say. I was going to say it's going to take a full campaign, a lot of people talking about it at once, pointing out that the idea was, you know, originally the airwaves were limited. That's why you need some sort of regulation. Well, the airwaves aren't limited with the Internet.
No.
There's no limit anymore. So what is the purpose of the FCC? It's a great point.
All right. And, again, you know, for me, I'm a small L libertarian. That's what I am.
Right.
And I really believe that a lot of people who label themselves conservatives actually are not as conservative as they say they are.
Well, you know, I always say a lot of people who call themselves libertarian aren't as libertarian as I am, and I'm usually making fun of the libertarians, but the real libertarians I like.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, there's a difference between the capital L members
of
the party that will debate how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
Have you ever seen their convention?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. Tom Likas listeners, you must find, next time the Libertarian Convention has a convention, they will show it on C-SPAN. They always do. You want a fun Saturday afternoon, you have to watch these lunatics arguing about how to privatize Yosemite.
Right. Exactly. But not
yeah,
like that,
that's
which
the top
will never,
of the list.
That'll never happen, by the way, no matter how much they want it. But then they'll be talking about other things like, let's get rid of public education. Let's get rid of the post office. Now, by the way, I think we should get rid of
the
post office.
Right.
But you know, the post office is the biggest make work organization in the federal government, quasi governmental agency or whatever it is. Meantime, you've got, if you added it in, and did a mashup, of a Mensa meeting and the Libertarian Party having a convention, I don't think you could tell where one stopped and the other began.
Yes, they are super nerds.
They're all the people nobody talked to in high school, and nobody is still talking to them.
Yes, though I do want to keep the post office around just so we can keep saying, do you want your health care run like the post office? Do you want? I mean, even with the post office around, Amtrak Food Service, they have a total monopoly. I think Amtrak isn't that big on the West Coast. And the East Coast is very, very big. You go back, you stand in line for an hour to get a three-day-old turkey sandwich, and, oh, that will be $17. You think you're on the side of Aspen for the prices you're paying.
Right.
They lost $8 million last year.
Uh-huh.
Now they're going to run our health care. Fantastic. This is going
to
work out
By the way, if the post office goes away, you'll always have the DMV to refer to.
Yes.
Another bastard of customer service. I said the other day, you know, what? There are so many other things I apply for that have a laminate involved, you
know,
where you just kind of run your credit card, you swipe, and then a card comes out. Why do we need the Department of Motor Vehicles? What is the point of that? Makes
You're
no
right.
sense.
That's a good point.
But, you know, the other thing, though, that bothers me and gets me very nervous is that many conservatives are also anti-crime in such a way that they're not concerned about how many personal freedoms we are giving up in order to feel safer. And, by the way, we're not safer. To take a look at that LAX a week ago, okay? We feel safe.
That I agree with you on, particularly with regard to airport security. And when, oh, you know what? In a few minutes, I'm going to step away for 10 minutes and then I'm coming out, but I'm going to make this point. Airport security, and I fly a lot, and I'm always hearing people saying, well, if it makes us safer. It never makes us safer. In fact, I have this point in my book. The New York, in New York, the Times Square bomber, remember he was stopped by the alert t-shirt vendor? And then the New York City Police, they do all of the work. They find out who owned the car. They find out who set the bomb. They deliver it in a bow to federal authorities. And this guy was on a plane ready to take off for Dubai. I looked up to see how many people go through airport security at JFK every day. 100,000 people pulled out their computers, took off their shoes, pulled out their liquids, and yet someone who had just left a bomb in the middle of Times Square was not stopped on his way to Dubai.
Right. Right. And that's what I'm talking about. So many things we do are made to make it appear that we've done something.
Yes.
Megan's Law. Oh, by the way, there's a third rail. Megan's Law. Why do we waste our time with child molesters? Okay? There's the highest recidivism rate for any crime
right.
anyone ever commits.
Right, right.
And we not only don't sentence people for as long as we would sentence a murderer.
Yes.
We bring them out into neighborhoods. We're having a debate right now.
The pillow rapist.
The pillowcase
yes.
rapist.
Yes.
And they're trying to decide what neighborhood he's going to be released into.
Yep.
With his ankle bracelet.
And he's been released twice before
right.
and instantly raped again. And
that's
my thought is, I mean, the shrinks keep saying, oh, no, but he's older now. He's 62. We feel confident he won't rape again. My thought is we don't know. Someone's going to have to bear the burden of not knowing. I'm thinking it's the guy who's already committed 69 rapes.
Right.
As opposed to the people who are just innocent bystanders. No, I think you bear the burden of the big question mark here.
Right. I think, frankly, I think that you want to let people back out who've raped little children and stuff? Tell you what, let's create a little housing community
yes.
where your city council lives.
I used to...
And you put them right there in that neighborhood. Just let them all live together.
Your idea is so much better than mine. I just wanted little, like, Potemkin villages. Because, you know, okay, they don't have to be in the worst of the worst prisons. They can have little stores and sell one another things to one another. We just can't let them out. It's like Devil's Island. But I like your idea better. Where the city council lives.
Right.
Yes, Tom.
Put them right in there. By the way, speaking of which, when we used to work in Culver City at Westwood One, and they still have these buildings down there. Westwood One became Dial Global. Now it's Westwood One. Again, it's still the same buildings down there in Culver City. We went to the Megan's Law map where you could see where all the convicted molesters were living.
Uh-huh.
There is a building on Lindblad Street right next to where we used to live where there is a cluster of red dots. They all live in the same building. It's like the Child Molester Arms. That's where they are. All in one place.
Wow.
And, you know, people are at the office to take your daughter to work day. They're bringing their kids into work and stuff. And they haven't looked at the map right next door. All these people are. You know, if that is such a dangerous crime, why aren't those people in prison
right.
forever?
Or the death Period. Penalty, which the Supreme Court said we can't give unless they commit a murder. Well, not under Ann's Supreme Court.
It's outrageous.
You know, I know. Right. And I have a continual fantasy about going into some of these high security prisons and just by accident releasing anthrax or something.
That's lobbing a bomb.
Would the world be worse off? Will we miss the animals in these high security prisons? It's so expensive to house them, and they get out and they kill prison guards.
Yes. Now, you know when you say that. You know what you're doing when you say that.
I think everyone listening is thinking, I have that fantasy, too.
Of course. That's right.
It's just a fantasy. I didn't say I'm going to do it. You have your fantasies. I have mine.
Understood. Now, we're going to take a break here. Did you say you have to walk outside for a few?
Yes, 10 minutes, and I'll be right back.
All right. So we'll vamp a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come back. We have callers who've been waiting since
Fantastic.
Before you got here.
Oh, good.
Some callers coming up. Now, if you want to talk to Ann Coulter, let me give you the phone number here. It's 901-3000-TOM. By the way, we should mention the book. The book is Never Trust a Liberal Over Three, Especially a Republican. We're going to talk about what that's all about. coming up here with Ann Coulter, the number 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866.
Kicking Earth's ass on TuneIn, iTunes, and at blowmeuptom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You know, I've been preaching Likas 101 for years now, but some of you have fallen off the wagon. Who thought you knew more than the professor, and now you're facing off against a cold-hearted bitch who wants to take you for everything you've got, and on top of that, screw up your relationship with your kids. You know you need a lawyer. Don't be a fool. Call Adam Sachs now, 800-340-7320. Stand up for yourself. Don't be a pussy and let her walk away with the whole store. Fight back and use an experienced attorney that you can trust. And has long supported our show and its teachings. As an attorney in court nearly every day, Adam knows that people like you are struggling with this tough economy. Even if you're dealing with financial issues, he'll take your case. And he promises to work out an affordable monthly payment plan. No matter what your financial circumstances are, you can afford Adam Sachs as your lawyer. 800-340-7320. In his 20 years of standing up for guys in the hostile area of family law, He's gotten countless men full custody of their children, protected men from outrageous and unfair child support and vagina money payments. And best of all, he never gives up, never runs from a fight. He'll even give you his cell phone number so he can always be reached. Call this number, 800-340-7320. Adam Sachs, it's time to man up. 800-340-7320.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
You heard him faster, harder. New Normal Rock.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous Pollo a la Brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena. It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number here, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. We're here with Ann Coulter. Her book is called Never Trust a Liberal Over Three, Especially a Republican. And I might tell you that we have a link to the book on our Facebook pages and on Twitter. If you want to get your hands on it, you can. And obviously, if you ever wanted to ask Ann a question, this is your chance. Let me tell you, we've got no delay, no limit to what kind of question you can ask. You know, just go over the gold here. So I did notice, by the way, when we posted last night that Ann was going to be on, there was a controversy even about whether she should be on the show.
Why? What was the beef?
A lot of people think they know what my politics are. And so they thought that it was wrong to have somebody who might have different politics.
No.
The reality is that there are things that she and I agree on and disagree on. We'll get to the single mother thing here when she comes back in.
I didn't even care about her politics. I just wanted to see her in person, and she doesn't disappoint.
Yes. No, not
she
at all.
She delivers.
By the way, the picture on the cover is, like, it's wonderful.
It's smoking hot.
Thank God she can't hear us right now.
Yes, exactly.
She's awesome, man.
Clean up the drool.
Come on.
She gets back, dude. We were telling her before the show we wanted her to get salty, you know,
right.
Just start dropping F-bombs and stuff, but I don't think she's going to do that.
She doesn't do it on Bill Maher.
No, she doesn't even do it there.
I was trying to get her to drink a little bit, loosen up the situation.
Not a loosey-goosey.
You know, it's amazing. There are some AM radio shows that do this very same thing. They have Ann on and stuff. It's just amazing how Tom lights up every single line of the board to talk to Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
I mean,
crazy.
I think we're the last show she's ever appeared on. I think she's been on every show there is.
Right.
This is it.
I mean, definitely not on my list of people that I would, you know, suspect would even agree to come on the show or have any interest. So I was kind of just as shocked as you were last night.
Yeah. For people who were not paying attention, I got an email from Ann asking if she could come on our Friday show. She specifically asked for today's show. So first we had to find out if it was really her. But of course she can come in here.
Well, she's going to be appearing on the USC campus, and there are a bunch of Muslims that apparently are going to be, making a big deal over there. In fact, she was telling us that she's gotten threats.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, really uncool stuff.
She needs some help from the infidels.
Right.
And one of the Muslims upset about here specifically? She said to kill them all.
I forget.
There's a laundry list.
There is something in particular.
Something in particular.
By the way, in her request to come on the show, did she use WAP at all? I'd like to find out her feelings about Italian.
It was a one-line email. About it. It was the shortest email I've received this year. One
That's
line.
Good. I like a chick that doesn't, waste a lot of words.
I do, too. But, you know how it is, Gary. The publishers and the authors, it starts with for immediate release, and then has the name of the publicist and a phone number.
Yep.
And then has all this bullshit, the publicist justifying his or her job by writing up all this blah, blah, blah. And then there's all the websites, all the links, all the... So you rarely get a one-line email from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Coast is still clear. She's up there, not hearing us. So
hey, she's just hot. I want to come on the show.
I'd say this.
Give me the address.
Are you kidding me?
I would too. Hey, easy with this.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no.
Somebody
doesn't put a picture of themselves like that on the cover of their book if they don't realize they have some sex appeal that they can sell, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the deal.
Right.
I think she'd be the first to say that.
Exactly.
She is a testament, man. She keeps it together, man. This is one good broad back here, man. Come on.
By the way, Adam Sachs is freaking out right now because it turns out he's a huge Ann Coulter fan.
He is.
Yes, he's very unhappy that I didn't invite him down.
We didn't even know. You called me at 11 o'clock last night.
At the last minute.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's this unbelievable story out of Orange County where like 900 people got notified that their blood tests for DUIs turned out to be faulty.
Right.
Huge story last night. And so I contacted, the Hebrew Hammer, of course.
Right.
And said, dude, you got to make a phoner tomorrow. Come on and explain what the hell all this means. And then he's like mad at me because he would have come down rather than, call. He would have come down. Not only would he have come down and probably inappropriately touched Ann Coulter.
Like
he
touched Tesla.
In his possession. An Ann Coulter
doll. You know why I know this? He just sent me the photo.
It's so disturbing. I said, this is wrong, and stay away.
What do you think the translucent substance is on the doll? I can't quite figure that out from the picture.
I think that's coconut milk.
Is it?
Now, wait a minute. Do we know if this is an authorized product?
I don't know. We could certainly show Ann the picture.
I minimized the screen in case she came back here because I didn't want her to think I'm looking at the doll.
Way, I don't think she'd even know that we're sure. That's not exactly
I don't know. It's good, man. I'll tell you what.
I got to find out.
It's disturbing.
I got to look to see if she's still back there.
It really is. I think he included some sort of receipt with it in the picture, so just to prove that he had purchased it or something. I don't know.
By the way, that picture needs a lot of study because there's a lot of other things in that box.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
I don't know what they all are.
Wow.
He apparently purchased it on Amazon.
Yeah, he did. He did.
For some reason, there's a highlight pen next to it. And
right.
What appear to be pills.
I don't
Wait,
know.
Wait,
what? I don't know what those things are.
Oh, it looks like
know.
A Vaseline. It says Vaseline.
Vaseline? Is that what you said?
Look between her legs. It's some kind of bottle. It looks like it says Vaseline. I don't know if that's like a...
Oh, Ann just popped her head and she said she's coming in right now, so we could ask her about the doll.
Anyway, Obamacare is terrific, and I'm really glad that we're able to have Ann on to talk about that. And she's really brilliant when it comes
to
that Obamacare.
Be on your best behavior now.
I have to ask this question now. Now, Ann just walked in the door. I have to ask, is there a doll of you out there? Did you?
It's a collector's item now because they don't make it anymore. A talking Ann Coulter doll.
Do you know that one of our regulars on the show, who we call the Hebrew Hammer, Adam Sachs, attorney at law, he has one. And he sent us a photo of it.
It's creepy.
And I'm looking at it right now.
It's just not right.
It's very strange.
That's only because we're looking at the real thing. You know, if that's all to hold you over, you know, it would be a good thing. But
I'm afraid to look.
No, he didn't. It's not like he pictured you doing something weird as the doll.
Fine.
But it just, it's just odd to see you as a doll.
I know, and that's my actual dress.
No,
real
very short, by the way.
You have to tell me how this happened.
Well, this guy who made the talking president's doll, he started with like Bush, Rumsfeld.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, he made Dennis Miller. Mine was the biggest seller. And he'd came to CPAC and he'd record me when I was speaking. So, you know, you push its stomach and it's me actually talking. And the only thing that's weird about it is that I think it's fabulous. This is the only thing I think is weird is that it talks a little bit too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know, you push a doll's stomach, you want a quick statement. I'm like speaking in paragraphs.
I'm showing you the
that's
picture
it.
Now.
Yes. And that's a collector's item. You tell Larry the Hammer to hang on to it.
We're going to post this a little while.
I don't think we should. It's weird.
Oh, yeah, we should post that.
Is it still in Larry's box?
It is. In fact, he sent the biggest possible JPEG file you could possibly send.
Yeah, apparently he did.
But if you look around your figure here, I'm trying to find the... There's like, I don't know, some drugs in there, there's a Sharpie, like battery cable, I don't know what that is.
It's Barbie's Playhouse.
Odd mix of stuff.
There it is.
So as soon as you left the room, the conversation sort of went into the toilet, but not in a really bad way.
No.
We were just admiring the cover of the book. We thought it was wonderful. Like, it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. One of my friends was pushing me to use it. My substitute mother said, no, it's too racy. And so my friend who won, I repeat all of this back to him because he considers it a personal moral victory.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No.
I think you're doing wonders for the Republican Party because that picture alone, I think, guarantees that you'll have people following you.
Big time.
I hope
big
so.
Time.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Even if your doll talks too much.
Which is kind of appropriate, actually.
All right, let's talk a bit about your book, and then we're going to come back and talk about some other things. Never trust a liberal over three, especially a Republican. What's going on here?
Well, as you may recall, I came out for Hillary over John McCain.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the option we were given. And by the way, I was right. I was clearly right. I think we can all admit that now.
About?
That I was right. Hillary would have been better than McCain, and she's clearly better than Obama would have
been.
But
she wasn't running against McCain.
No, but she was running.
Okay. So would you vote for Hillary in 2016?
No, only against McCain.
What if Governor Chris Christgau is the nominee for the Republican Party?
No, I've turned against him now because he had his temporary Senate appointee vote for the amnesty bill, and that's just not the Republican Party. We're the party of the middle class and the working class. We're not the party of Wall Street wanting cheap nannies and maids. We're not the party of Mark Zuckerberg.
By the way, I do not believe that Chris Christgau is going to be the nominee.
Either do I.
You know why? Because nobody from New Jersey or New York is ever the nominee of either party.
Yeah.
Because those people living around the Hudson River have a very distorted view of reality.
Yes.
And have you noticed every election season, they take two people from New York and they say, these are the two frontrunners.
Yep.
Last time was going to be Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
America's mayor, who, by the way, made an appearance at what is now the Dolby Theater, formerly the Kodak Theater, where they do the Oscars.
Uh-huh.
It was $75 a ticket. It was two-thirds empty. He is not even a blip
USC
on the radar screen.
USC is
here.
Only $20 and it's $15
Look
online.
Look at that. You should be able to fill that up.
Only $15 online. Order now.
And you're going to tell us the link so we can put that up?
Well, you can get it on my webpage, AnnCoulter.com.
Okay.
It's also HancockParkPatriots.com.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And there are Patriots in Hancock Park?
Apparently there are, but they'll be at USC Sunday night.
Is that so?
VIP reception, I think, is $100, and that's at 6.
Now, tell me about the USC appearance. What are you doing out there?
Well, Jim, whom you met, he's out talking to USC security right now. He's big with the Hancock Park Republicans.
Not a lot of Republicans in the neighborhood of USC down on Martin Luther King Boulevard, corner of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. There's not a lot of Republicans down there.
I know, you know, and I said enthusiastically, but wait, Brentwood is near there, and everyone said, yeah, not a lot of Republicans there either, eh?
Right. But they have to park their car and hope it's not up on bricks by the end of your appearance.
Well, everyone tells me it's much safer there now.
It is. Well, it's much safer in the camp, as long as you don't leave. Don't go out. If you see the big doll of Felix the Cat over there, do not go in that direction. Stay away.
Once you get in, it's like a fortress, and there are going to be a lot of right-wingers coming, and
yes.
Anyway, Jim is
going to
interview
me. And many of them
are
armed. So just keep that in mind.
Right. In fact, many of my friends will be armed. So
there you go.
And he'll ask me questions about the book for about, 30, 40 minutes, and then we'll take questions from the audience.
Very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had to ask you some other questions here because I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Would Ronald Reagan be conservative enough to be a Republican
today? Thank you. Thank you. And I love Ronald Reagan, and I'm a conservative, but there seems to be some standard and some myth of Ronald Reagan as something he wasn't. He said it was the biggest mistake of his life, but he passed the most liberal abortion law in the country, or signed it into law when he was governor of California. He passed one of the biggest taxes. He gave us the nation's only amnesty, which then opened the floodgates. And I'm not holding this against him. I'm not claiming he was a secret liberal. He did bring down the Soviet Union, and he cut taxes and rejuvenated the economy, and he was so strong, and he was a cowboy. But the standards that are set up today, and the reason I say this with such passion, is to hear Mitt Romney compared unfavorably to Ronald Reagan is madness. Ronald Reagan's California was more conservative than Mitt Romney's Massachusetts legislature. And Mitt Romney governed as more of a conservative as the governor of Massachusetts than Reagan governed as a conservative of California. Now, he was a fabulous speaker. We knew he had it in his heart. He had spent all those years with the GE tours, and wow, when he spoke from the heart, he did have something that I admit no other Republican really has. But these Republicans are driving me crazy with this whitewashing of history. You have to be able to forgive people who have been, say, governor of the Soviet Union.
Right. But many of these guys love to drop Reagan's name at the drop of a hat. Do we have enough airports, parks named
after Ronald
Reagan?
No, this is just to get back at the Kennedy stuff. We will never have enough.
I mean, but then, if you really look at Reagan's record, I think today he might not pass muster with the Tea Party, for example.
The Tea Party, it's a word that gets used, and it's not quite fair to the Tea Party, because 90% of them, I speak at a lot of Tea Parties, I know Tea Parties, I am a Tea, 90% of them are completely sane, wonderful people. But it's not so much that there's an element of the Tea Party that's extreme, it's more that they're dilettantes in politics, so they don't remember Reagan. They don't understand that it's different running someone in Utah versus, say, Delaware, and maybe Christine O'Donnell isn't your best candidate. But it's more, I think, it's newcomers to politics, and then, they'll just sit home and pout if Christine O'Donnell isn't on the ballot. We'll lose the election, and then they'll say, oh, well, I'm done with politics.
I can throw another name at you. Barry Goldwater.
Well, I'm not a big fan of his.
Tell me.
Though he was great on many things, he's a problem. As I describe in this book, actually, there are a lot of different forces harming the Republican chances of victory. And there are the, for lack of a better term, Tea Partiers, though, as I say, it's really only about 10% of them. There are the Libertarians. There is the Rhino establishment consultant wing. But as for the purest Libertarians, Goldwater really hurt the Republican Party by being a purist libertarian on the 1964 Civil Rights Act. This is described heavily in my last book, Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. And look, Goldwater was fantastic on civil rights. As governor of Arizona, he integrated the National Guard long before Truman thought about it. All of the Goldwater department stores were integrated. He was a member of the NAACP. He thought the 1964 Civil Rights Act didn't go far enough when it came to contracts with the government. But he opposed the 64 Civil Rights Act because of its restrictions on private businesses. That is a purist libertarian point. It was a stupid thing for him to do. Republicans condemned him for doing it. It was mostly Republicans who passed the 64 Act. And then it branded Republicans as racists. And in fact, the four Dixiecrat states he picked up in the 1964 election, I think it was four of them, were the states Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan in their landslide elections did the worst in. He did not help us win the South. He set us back in the South, and it took, 50 years to overcome his voting against the Civil Rights Act. So this is the problem with being a purist libertarian.
William F. Buckley.
I find him largely incomprehensible, but by and large, I loved his magazine, and I read it growing up.
I met him and spent time with him, and he was fabulous.
Really?
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, he is a cool cat.
Fantastic. But here's the deal. I as a libertarian, here's why I have a problem with the Republican Party, mm-hmm. because it gets hitched up with all the religious groups. There's that whole element of religion and trying to cram religion down everybody's mm-hmm. throat. You know what? I don't really care if people are having abortions. I don't really care about whether people are looking at pornography. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. I want to stay out of that. And so you can't say we want less government and then start looking at what's in people's glove compartments and what's what they're looking at when you're not looking. How do you explain that?
Well, I'm of two minds, and I'll start with the part I agree with you on and then attack
okay,
the part I disagree with.
Okay.
The part I agree with you on was illustrated in the Virginia election this week with the lieutenant governor. Black Christian minister had said some spicy things about homosexuality. And, you know, look, I'm a Christian. I go to a church. One of my churches has a minister a lot like him. Fine for a Christian minister. Maybe Republicans, this is the element of the Tea Party I'm talking about. Maybe it should have occurred to them, perhaps we should not be running a Christian minister who has said all of this stuff about sins to win a statewide election. That really hurt Cuccinelli. I mean, all throughout this campaign, and I knew it. The night that caucus nominated him, I was on the horn with one of my friends, and we were saying, look at what these idiots have done. And they think, oh, we rocked the world. Fantastic. You just lost the election for Cuccinelli. Now, a lot of other people did, too, including the establishment and so on. But and he's a wonderful man, by the way. He went to Harvard Law School. He was done with college in, like, 3 years. He's a very bright, beautiful speaker. But he's not a good general election candidate. We need people other than Ann Coulter voting for us. Now, the part I will disagree with you is more of a larger point, and that is how I think social conservatism and pure, what do they call it, fiscal conservatism go hand in hand. Unless you have, and look, I don't want to look in your glove compartment either, but saving a baby's life is something different. We don't care what you do with your body, but we just want to save the life. But I do think moral conservatism goes with fiscal conservatism, because if you're going to have all these unwed babies and drugged up teenagers, Anne's going to end up paying for it. You do need a responsible citizenry to have freedom. Otherwise, you get a bunch of welfare recipients.
But you know, Ayn Rand, who many Tea Partiers love to quote, was an atheist.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was.
They conveniently forget that.
I don't.
Okay.
In fact, you know this, a lot of people don't. Whitaker Chambers wrote a blistering review of Ayn Rand in National Review for precisely that reason.
You know, I'm an atheist and a libertarian. Oh, I'm closer to Ayn Rand than Rand Paul.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, yes.
Now, do you have to run, or can you stay for a while?
I'm here to stay.
Good. All right. It's Ann Coulter, and your call's coming up here at 901-3000, Tom. 901-3000-866. If you'd like to see Ann at USC this Sunday, go to her website, anncoulter.com. Her book is called Never Trust a Liberal Over Three, Especially a Republican. And your telephone calls are coming up.
Get everything for just 27 cents a day at premiumtom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
We've been encouraging some of the small and medium-sized businesses out there to advertise on our show, because radio has pretty much let them know they're not welcome with really high prices on their commercials. And our friends at Kelly Controls, they heard our call when we said, hey, small and medium-sized businesses, step it up. And here's Kelly Controls for all your industrial, electric, and system integration services throughout California. You just call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. Now, Kelly Controls specializes in PLC, automation, SCADA systems, variable frequency drives, instrumentation, and process and motion control. Kelly Controls can help you complete your project and get your equipment up and running quickly and professionally. All you have to do is call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. You got that? 661-294-8000. Or you can visit them online at kellycontrols.com. And let me spell Kelly for you. K-E-L-L-E-Y controls.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. especially on Gin and Juice Wednesdays.
Dino on an angry gin drunk can only be like a complete mess.
Oh, I'm really getting ugly,
I mean a complete mess. Holy shit, you are just about to witness something.
Destructive.
Want to get the kids out of the room? Because Dino's about to get down.
Yep. Gin mad. I'm gin mad.
He's not laid back, smoking Indo, sipping on gin.
And I have no money to have my mind on. So that's out.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
Motherfuck.
The Gary and Dino Show.
And that's just fine.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Laid back. With her mind on the lack of money and the money on the lack of the mind. Or whatever I said.
Is your small business online? If not, you're probably missing out on potential clients. And that's a problem. Let the guys at Premium Interactive take care of it for you. Check them out at PremiumInteractive.com. They've been promoting large to small businesses online for over a decade. And they're ready to put all of their experience to work for you. Now visit PremiumInteractive.com right now for a special limited time promotion called the Express Website Solution. And it starts at just $699. That's right. For just $699, you can have a complete and professionally designed website. It's PremiumInteractive.com. Just mention the Tom Likas Show and get an extra 20% off. It's time to get your business online. Get started today with PremiumInteractive.com. It's the Tom Likas Show. You've heard about it. You, as I said on my pizza box the other day, you tried all the rest. Now try the best. There we go. We're here with Ann Coulter, and your call's coming up here at 901-3000. Tom, we're going to take a break. We'll have news for guys, and then we're going to come back and take your calls here at 901-3000. Tom, it's 901-3000-866.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Better believe it.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's
yes.
Beer Magazine. A couple caught having sex in a Waffle House parking lot in Georgia.
See nothing wrong with that.
Cops show up. Dude puts clothes on. Chick says, I think I'll stay naked for a while. Cop says, hey, you're going to have to get dressed. So she goes to get dressed.
Yeah.
When she goes to put on her shoes, she tried to put a cheeseburger on her foot.
Oh.
Like she was putting on a sandal. She just put
on a cheeseburger.
Have a put on a shoe.
Well, the nice part it had already had the ketchup and mustard on, so it really slipped on.
It's like a slip-on.
This young woman in Georgia has started a new trend in America, and that's cheeseburger feet. Congratulations, young lady.
Apparently, she was very loud and argumentative with the cops. Took her a while to get her.
You have to give the cops a little bit of credit here for being patient. They busted up the sex act. It was cool. They probably just said, all right, everybody, just show's over. Go home.
Yeah, put your clothes on. Get out of here.
But that's where she went.
Oh, I'm going to put the shoes on.
Hey, put this double cheese for a
friend. It is.
I mean, fuck it. Yeah, too bad it didn't end well, but hopefully they got to continue when they got home.
Right. New study shows that facial features could reveal if someone is gay or straight.
I thought about that, but then again, I think people that get their eyebrows waxed, I think that's what's throwing everybody
up. That's facial features. That's something you can, change. Oh. We're talking about facial features. No, shape of your nose, your chin. Yeah. Your chin.
Interesting.
Whether you have a long face or a short face.
So they found some type of trend?
Smaller and shorter noses.
Mm-hmm.
And rather massive and more rounded jaws.
Indicate.
You're gay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, be on the lookout.
Look out for those big, massive, and rounded jaws and smaller and shorter nose.
Yeah. Well, Italians everywhere are safe.
Right.
We all know we got the big ones.
Tom Cruise is suing something called Bauer. They have a couple of magazines, I guess, for $50 million in defamation lawsuits.
Basically boils down to, I'm not fooling around here, folks.
Yes.
Be careful.
You throw that kind of money at it.
Yeah, it's really, it's an indication that you should be calm, cool, and collected when you are making accusations, and be sure to say, in my opinion, every 5 seconds.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're going to be in big trouble.
Apparently, they wrote that he was abandoning his daughter, Suri.
Yes.
We never said that.
No,
never.
That's a... Nope.
Never. It was Timpson that said that.
Yes.
And
exactly.
I've got it on tape if anybody wants it.
Mike Timpson also had a problem with Suri's name. He never liked that.
Right.
And he always found Katie Holmes to be left high and dry sexually.
I'm sorry to interrupt. By the way, look whose picture I didn't ask to be taken with today. Not racist.
Oh, it's going to happen before she goes.
Oh, yeah.
Not racist.
You know why? Because he already has the picture with her. That's why.
Really?
Yeah. That's
great.
The reason.
I don't know if she's looking particularly good today.
Yes.
Jay-Z being sued for Run This Town, the sample used in that. By the way, that's a Kanye-produced track, so
wait,
I don't know why Jay-Z is responsible for it. But
look at
some dude named Eddie Bo said that they took a sample of Hook and Sling Part 1 from a 1961 song of the same title. That's the deal.
Right.
Without permission.
Right.
Hook and Sling Part 1.
And by the way, you know, good luck to the guys trying to get this money. I can't, you know, a lot of these dudes did a lot of work, and to have it stolen, I get it. A lot of these, even if Jay-Z's guilty of this, a lot of these guys didn't get paid nothing when they did all these songs in the 60s
that's your point.
And 70s. And basically, they're sitting there and watching Hova make a whole lot of money. And, you know,
if their hands on it,
it's this guy's music, he deserves to be rewarded.
I'll get my hand on Selena Gomez, too. A couple of pick alerts for you. Check her out in something called Flaunt Magazine.
Yeah, Flaunt Magazine.
Flaunt Magazine. Mm-hmm. She's in lingerie.
She's doing just that. She's flaunting what she has,
she
should.
It's fantastic.
And by the way, don't be fooled because she plays younger than she actually is. She's of age.
She's fantastic. And, of course, we always tell you, follow Anastasia Ashley on our Instagram account almost every day, if not more than several times a day. You'll find wonderful pictures there.
Go with what you know. Anastasia Ashley, 100%. Go there now.
Exactly.
Amazing. Her stuff is so good.
It
worth
is
the
indeed.
Follow.
Yep.
Wow.
It's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Better believe it.
Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. There's a brand new show every Friday, a new one up there today. It's a beauty. It's GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Costlow Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Costlow. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965, big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Costlow got the job done. Quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Costlow. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no obligation quote at this number. 818-707-7711. Or visit CostlowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive, full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Costlow.com today. Costlow. COSTLO.
This is the new normal.